So our last speaker for today is Douglas Kahn. Doug is probably known to many of us here. He's currently Professor of Media and Innovation at the College of Fine Arts at UNSW. And today he'll be talking about Thomas Ashcraft, Observer, and the Trader of Specimens. I think there'll be lots of connections between the last two talks. So welcome, Doug.
Yeah, there's actually some connection with the mung bean also. This is, and to get me into 20 minutes is kind of difficult. Takes me 15 minutes just to clear my throat. So this is going to be a haiku version and sort of imagistic, like a haiku. How might one be, quote, technically accurate and also poetically interesting at the same time, unquote? This is how Thomas Ashcraft frames his activities. It is neither possible nor important to distinguish the different roles he embodies in this task. Artist, artisan, poet, astronomer, naturalist, designer, do and don't work. So he's a cultivator of nomenclature, crafting self-representation like he crafts his objects and instruments. These are just some of the seeds of the ideas of what he does. I'm only going to be sort of concentrating on bacteriophages and radioastronomy through the term radiopanspermia. This autobiography here accompanied a catalog for a show in the Chelsea district of New York that was curated by his Santa Fe, New Mexico neighbor and fellow word person, Bruce Nauman. They couldn't be different. Nauman is well known for making art and art problematic for the art world, whereas Ashcraft remains a regional artist in the region of the cosmos where he works hard to be, quote, in a self-generating zone. There's one self-representation Ashcraft is careful about. Discussions of art and science too often exclude a salient third term, amateurism. But Ashcraft prefers independent artists because he welcomes the higher standard of being technically accurate and the accompanying possibility of significant discovery. The two people he points to are David Levy of the Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 fame and Grote Reber, independent pioneer of a radio astronomer who's eventually settled in Tasmania. Here is part of the flyer announcing his 1989 exhibition at the Center for Contemporary Arts in Santa Fe. It is a textbook image of a bacteriophage, a virus that infects bacteria. Like all viruses, bacteriophages are on the cusp of life. They're quasi-life and quasi-death. As William Burroughs called them, fucking transitional bastards. In the text with this image, Ashcraft constructs a fiction to describe his poetic motivation. He poses as a student of Max Delbruck, who is synonymous with discovering the genetic mechanism for bacteriophagic reproduction. I quote, "Primary poetics. I remember when I was first becoming a naturalist and student, Professor Delbruck always preached the value of studying the simple viruses such as these bacteriophages. I was studying the virus, living with it, focusing towards it, in on it, and after many months it did something that awed me and pleased me so much. It let out some DNA. I had been just sitting there for the longest time, and then it squirted out a strand of DNA." The exhibition itself was entitled "Radio Panspermia Being an Action of Dream Union with the Shared and Streaming Mind of the Full Natural World, Seed Everywhere, Writing Light." Panspermia is the idea, an ancient one revived in the 19th and 20th century evolutionary theory and astrophysics, that life was seeded by microorganisms from outer space. The issue is revolved around whether life would be capable of surviving the biological inhospitable conditions of space, temperature, vacuum, and high energy ionizing radiation. Legitimacy of the thesis improved once microbes and larger life forms were found in the Earth's crust, in geothermal vents, in radioactive dumps, and other extreme conditions. Lithopanspermia proposes that life is transported across space in meteors, whereas the thesis of radiopanspermia, which Ashcraft spreads out as seed everywhere riding light, has life transported in what are called interstellar grains, or like the matter you're talking about, interstellar grains propelled by radiation pressure, a feeble force exerted by electromagnetism. You may have seen the idea of sort of galactic travel through solar sails. That's the radiation pressure pushing on them. For Ashcraft, both bacteriophages and electromagnetic signals travel through space and interact with near-Earth environments. Signals are encased in noise and have information in them in the same way that bacteriophages have DNA. He analyzes the tiniest elements along a signal as one might read genetic code. He also looks for correlations of light and signals where noises are signatures. Of course, there are many notions of seeds traveling through space to create life. The most famous one is the Christian monospermia thesis that has God impregnating Virgin Mary through the ear, whereas Richard Dawkins has memes impregnating everyone, virgins and non-virgins alike, and evolving their own quasi-life. They feed feverishly off of hits, usually on YouTube. In radiopanspermia, there exists a diffusion of objects and transmission of energies. The objects of bacteriophages and the energies of electromagnetic waves. This is my one theoretical paragraph. This broad, mutually non-exclusive distinction in object relations and energy relations is important to maintain, if only briefly. In media theory, the inscriptive basis of archives, texts, and postal systems have operated historically through diffusion. Friedrich Kittler's rhetoric is almost entirely inscriptive in that respect. Messages are transmitted, but only to the extent that objects are moved. They need objects, and especially their surfaces, pages, screens, maps, circuits, etc. They tend to lack fields and space, and their movements lack dynamics and turbulence. Most of all, they lack energies and energetic systems. Transmission, on the other hand, is associated with electrical and electromagnetic base of modern communications technologies and have served in a variable technological capacity in aesthetics, arts, and science, as well as communications. End of theoretical paragraph. Ashcraft keeps bacteriophages and other microorganisms separate from coaxing signal transmissions, but they obviously seek reunion in radiopanspermia. Over the years, poetic scanning along intrabiological frequencies has shown me not only the Earth, but also many, many earthly places. Seed flies from world to world, and mind flies with seed. Indeed, whole forests fly through space and activate when conditions are right. This makes for many familiar water holes and kindred spawning grounds far and wide, unquote. And as we shall see, when diffusion and transmission are not joined, their potential union seeds communicability of a dry biological intelligence. Ashcraft's thinking assumes ecological significance. It's a really nice coincidence that we're both referring to Timothy Morton. If Blake sought the universe in a grain of sand, what of clouds of interstellar grains? After dispatching the notion of nature, Timothy Morton, in his recent book, The Ecological Thought, moves on to its problematic substitution, the environment. Quote, what is an environment? Is there such a thing as the environment? Is it everything around us? At what point do we stop, if at all, drawing the line between environment and non-environment? The atmosphere, Earth's gravitational field, Earth's magnetic field, without which everything would be scorched by solar winds. The sun, without which we wouldn't be alive at all. The galaxy. Ashcraft stated that his bacteriophage artworks at Radio Panspermia arose from time, quote, spent living in the villages, woods, and hollows of the Ozarks, unquote, where there is, quote, a great intermingling of species there, and the place is a vast repository of living seed. I just happened to see Vandana Shiva this morning on ABC talking about seed diversity. At his new coordinates, once he left the Ozarks near Santa Fe, he became a feral naturalist, observing and documenting microorganisms living in rain barrels on his property in over 15,000 movies. Here's one of them. It's as though sort of Kandinsky's microorganisms from his late Paris years were run through the archival bean counting drive of coffee bean counting of Hanna Dorboven. This is a world in which he lives, in which we all live. They don't live in our world, they, the little critters. We live in theirs. Microorganisms, bacteria, and viruses add up to a biomass much larger than that of humans. To his credit, Ashcraft designs coins that, as David Dunn has written, quote, are meant to negotiate new worlds in cognitive domains, sending emissaries to the edges of his awareness. The iconic form of the bacteriophage becomes a template for universal coding of monetary units. There's a phage coin there. Instead of human royalty. So he has microphages instead of like a queen or something. Questioning what the dominant life form on Earth really is, vertebrate or virus, unquote. He says economics in the form of cosmodities. Ashcraft's sculptures and reliefs are usually small, but they're certainly bigger than microbes. They get bigger than that. For Ashcraft, there's a symbolic coin in the coincidence that bacteriophages look similar to lunar landing modules. This is where bacteriophages dock with space travel. Through the 1990s, Ashcraft was increasingly drawn to electromagnetic phenomena. He maintained his interest in viral diffusion and, quote, the pulse and urge of seed, unquote, while increasing his observations of signals, their existence, and their possible communicability. Along with an object orientation, he accrued an energy orientation from the substantiation of tiny life and quasi-life. He accrued that of weak signals, a recognition of weak signals, and quasi-signals in noise. He dutifully records fireballs entering the atmosphere, sprites, and other luminous phenomena, along with their radio signatures. He collects forms of radio scattering, much like rain collects in the barrels on his property. Some of the radio scattering is like FM radio from California scattering off the vapor trail of the space shuttle and ending up in New Mexico. In 1994, he began tuning into Jupiter. Radio bursts are emitted from Jupiter when its moon, Galilean moon back there, Io, passes over one of the special regions of the planet. Io is volcanically... I don't want to play that right now, but what the hell? Io is the most volcanic planet in the solar system. It spews out ionized materials that get caught up in Jupiter's magnetosphere. This is the surface of Io. Here's Io spewing a little ash ionized material. It's just like the this is like a schematic of Jupiter's magnetosphere is huge, and this is what it would look like in the night sky if we could see the magnetosphere. Anyway, it results EO in particular being particularly conducive to this sort of concentrated transport of electromagnetic waves ends up in a complicated way in the transmission of a laser-like cone of sporadic radio emissions out into space. And when the Earth enters and exits the edges of that cone, the larger L bursts pulse like ocean waves rolling and crashing onto the beach, whereas the shorter S bursts have been described as gravel falling on a tin roof or a plastic bag blowing and snapping against itself in a stiff wind. Remarkably, if S waves are slowed down 128 times, they sound like a flurry of whistlers, of natural radio on Earth stacked on one another. Can you crank that? Yeah? Did anybody hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So these are Jupiter bursts. On May 29th, Ashcraft held an event at the Center for Contemporary Arts in Santa Fe. It shared the site with another observation work, James Turrell's Sky Space. The event was something akin to a rave. Here's a photo of it. It's akin to a rave, an ecstatic or at least static-filled commune with the solar system sweep of intense radio beam from Io and Jupiter. It was scheduled between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. to catch a, quote, well-aligned EOB pass and arrived at 3:37 a.m. The audience knew they were basking in the rays on the dark side of the Earth. Just this, when they heard the radio static, they knew ahead of time that this cone, the edge of this cone, was passing over them. About a year later, he hosted Harnessing Wild Electricities from Outer Space for Energy, Information, Sensation, and Pleasure. Audience members were informed that radio bursts were, quote, central nervous system friendly. For Ashcraft, the electroreceptor, one of his self-representations, perception is a form of bioporting energy. It is true hearing and vision are the first of all forms of transduction, changes from one energy state to another, as are media technologies. The Jupiter bursts sweep across the Earth, hits the top of his head located in Santa Fe, and is conducted through the antennas and radio gear into the energetic system of his body. Quote, so I'm receiving these direct emissions from Jupiter coming right into my central nervous system in about 40 minutes travel at the speed of light from Jupiter. It's a high, it's a buzz, it's exhilarating, it's mysterious, who knows what it is, but here I am in direct contact with Jupiter. Last page. He has made plans to develop a system that would receive live Jupiter bursting and send it back towards Jupiter. He had in the back of his mind that microenergetic elements might reveal intelligence, not necessarily biological, in the transmissions, not necessarily an utterance or any communication. Compare this to Joe Davis's Poetica Vaginal, in which vaginal contractions of ballerinas and from Boston Ballet and other good-natured women, this was in the early 80s, were recorded and transmitted as radio astronomical signals to nearby star systems 10 to 12 light years away. There are different intimacies involved when compared to the dry biology 40 minutes to Jupiter. This circuit between Jupiter and Santa Fe is where he brings radio panspermia full circle by inquiring about the radiation pressure of Jupiter bursting. Quote, could these Jovian radio emissions have any matter or microbe propelling qualities, unquote. That's it. This is what Naumann wrote for the show in Chelsea. It's like the first thing I showed. It shows that there's lots of other features of what Ashcraft does. I've only looked at radio panspermia and bacteriophage and Jupiter bursting. So that's it. Thanks.